Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
Oh my God, my sound levels are so hot.
Oh, because you're hot, Rob.
We are together in the same room. I'm sure everybody can hear the echo that is going on. Echo, echo.
Together again for the first time.
Oh, that's a fun.
That was a little Christopher Fitzgerald.
A little Chris Fitzgerald coming at you.
Slash.
Not from Gutenberg, the musical. No. From Young Frankenstein. Remember Gutenberg? Remember that about the musical, the improvish musical about the printing press. That's fun. Nothing says
that's a
musical like that one. That was at one of the first shows at 59th East 59th. That little theater
complex.
Oh, I was
going to say, see you at New World Stages. Next to Slava's Snow Show.
Is that where that's going?
No, it's going to be on Broadway.
I think. Yeah.
What is Slava's Snow Show?
It's like a family festivities where it, I think, is like kind of a clownish, but it's like this, it snows all around you, and it's like a, I don't know, that's all I have. It's like family entertainment.
You don't know what the fuck
this
is.
I really don't know.
I saw the commercial during CBS Sunday morning, and you're like, it's about a snow show.
I see a man. I know it was here a couple years ago because I remember it used to sort of come every year, it's like Christmas Carol, but like, you know,
it's actually the goings on of inside a snow globe.
Right.
Much like the season finale of Saint Elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that's a throwback to your 80s kids out there.
Remember, wow.
Do you ever watch Saint Elsewhere? Do you know how it ends?
No.
The end, you found out it was all a boy's dream.
Are you
and
serious?
And everyone existed in a snow globe.
Now that's a way to do it. That's a way to tie it all up together.
Now that's a way to look at your audience and go, fuck you, eight years.
I'm trying to think of a musical that did that, where the whole musical was one thing, and then all of a sudden they were, like they tried to do with that Annie production up there in the upstate, where it was all a dream. She woke up and she was back in the orphanage.
And she wasn't adopted.
It's not funny, but it is kind of funny.
I would love to have been the kids of that production. Just be like, Mommy, what's happening?
I wonder if we'll see something like that with this West Side Story that Eva Van Hove is doing, I wonder.
Have you
heard anything more about it?
Okay, so let's read it. This is, okay, once again, folks, all rumors.
This is a one-act version of...
Because you know how this town likes to gossip. Well, first of all, it is a one-act. There's no intermission.
Oh, I was joking.
I'm hearing is there is no intermission. They have cut America. They have cut I Feel Pretty. They've cut the Something's Coming ballet. The opening is all done on video. These are rumors. I don't know anybody I've not heard this from anyone directly in the show.
Right.
No one in the show has said, hey, this is what's happening.
Okay.
I'm hearing it from people who have seen a couple of rehearsals and are hearing from friends of friends.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yes. Are you really?
I am, because Oklahoma started this, although Oklahoma, they didn't change. Other than the orchestrations, the dialogue is pretty much the same. The song melodic lines are basically the same. Nothing was cut.
No.
They literally just reinvented it. Good job.
Is the vegan chili recipe they're serving at intermission the same one that was served at the St. James in 1943?
It actually is the exact same portions and the same food. They just had it frozen all these years.
God bless. Like Walt Disney's head.
Yeah, that's great.
Two things in that freezer. Walt Disney's head and the chili from the original production of Oklahoma.
No, you know, they waited for Arthur Lawrence to die, and then they were like, all right, yeah, let's get the put this on the chopping block. I mean, no, really, though, who decides? How can they get away with it? You know what I mean?
Like West Side Story?
Yeah.
Can't do
that with the Rodgers and Hammerstein estate. You know, they're going to come down hard on you. Ted Chapin was there at that first preview, and I was there as well, and he was definitely there to make sure that they were going to adhere to all the rules, regulations, and respect of the original Oklahoma. See what I did there? I did a little zombie prom. Anyone? Zombie prom? Rules, regulations, and respect.
Old school. You know what's so funny? Patrick Pachenko has this show on public access, not public access in New York, CUNY TV.
Yes, I love those channels.
And he interviewed Ted Chapin about the Oklahoma revival.
Oh, I would like
it
to see that.
It was so interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's available on like YouTube or anything, but check it out. It was a really interesting talk about how what the estate allows, what the estate doesn't allow, how they allow things. Ted was one of our first guests.
I was just going to say that he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Well, not only is he, you know, the head of, you know, one of the most powerful organizations of musical theater in the city, but he also is passionate about musical theater, you know, the way that we are. That's how I connected with it. I did a concert, and he was the host of it. And we connected immediately on our shared love of the history of musical theater.
We're all geeks.
Yeah, I think
we're
so.
We're all geeks. Hey, speaking of shared love of musical theater.
Yes, my friend.
So one of our other early guests, Jack Vertel from Encores, is stepping down after 20 years of being the artistic director.
And there's a new artistic
director. There is. They've announced. Lear, I hope I'm saying her last name correctly, Lear de It's Bassonet.
Oh, say it in a French accent, Rob.
Lear de Bajouin.
Very
Lear is nice. From New Orleans.
Yes.
And has had an amazing
French
career.
Creole.
And she's, Kevin, I think she's in our age bracket.
Really?
So she's young, right? Woo-hoo! That's young, right? She's young, right?
I'm not pushing 40 at all. That's wonderful. And after all these years, I mean, to have sort of, she's been a part of the festivities there for a little bit, so she knows the routine. But I think it's going to be really exciting to have, and this Millie that's being done, that's sort of a retake on the
that she's directing.
So I wonder if we'll see more of that in the Encore series. I lament the fact that we probably won't see Goldilocks anytime soon, but that's okay. I look forward to the Starlight Express version all done on those little skate sneakers.
Wheelies?
Starlight Express, I
must confess.
Are you real?
Answer.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was answer me yes or no.
That's Thank great. You. Good lyric.
Thanks. Hey, I am a writer. I'm a singer. Also, my shout out to my hometown. They just did The Music Man.
Oh, did they, Rob?
Yeah, guess who played Harold Hill?
Who played Harold Hill, Rob?
Anthony Pascal.
Really?
Yep. Anthony Pascal was the Music Man. Now, I love him
I didn't mean there to be such a pregnant pause there. I was a little...
I love him so much. I think he's so talented. I am so curious. If anyone saw this, can you get me a bootleg of him singing? Because I just picture it. I picture him coming out with his guitar. I don't know. I just always associate
him. Definitely like with like, I imagine like leather pants of some kind.
Yeah, and he's like wearing that conductor's uniform, but like the sleeves are ripped off.
Yes, and like, yes, definitely. Yeah. Like, but like tattered a little bit.
Yeah, you know? That was you.
Right. You got trouble here in River City. Yeah.
There was music.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There was wonderful roses. They tell me. Here's sweet
76 trombone and a big brain.
And they're all electric guitars.
Yeah, totally.
They're all carrying their amps with them.
Wow.
I don't know. So I'm sure it was a fabulous production. So curious.
I recall years, like a decade ago, when Jason Robert Brown was doing a concert, when he would, he did a lot of concerts about the material of Parade. This is like right after Parade, like the early aughts. And I had a bootleg of Pascal, Anthony or Adam Pascal?
Adam Pascal.
Yeah, I thought you said
Anthony Rapp.
Anthony Rapp. Oh, I'm thinking of Adam Pascal right now.
That's who it is, Adam Pascal.
I thought you said Anthony Pascal before. But him singing Flying Home from Songs from New World, but he sounds not with the raspy voice. Almost like the raspy voice is a little put on for the pop rock shows.
Oh, you like that,
though. I was really impressed by it. Yeah. Like, I mean, like really wailing. Didn't he do Memphis?
Yeah. Yes, I think he did.
Yeah.
That was music. Memphis lives in you. And wonderful roses.
It's a little constipated. A little.
They
bit.
Tell me that's my rock sound.
Yeah, it's nice.
Can I go in for a rock show?
You work on that with Sherry Sanders.
Yeah.
Sherry Sanders. She literally wrote the book on how to sing pop rock.
There's an actual rock.
No, literally, she wrote the book. Yeah,
I think the
young folks, you should get it if you are auditioners of the pop rock genre. Of which, if you are a young in the city, you better be because that's all you're auditioning with these days.
That's so true.
Seriously, like everything, even like Dear Evan Hansen. Sing a pop song.
Do you have a pop rock in your book?
No, the good thing about getting older is the older you get, you don't need one.
Really?
No one's going to ask someone at almost 40 to sing a pop rock song. And if they do, it's going to be like a Billy Joel or like something. You don't have to like, no, you're like going to be like the dad. You're going to be like the
Uptown girl.
Yes, that's
she's
what
been living.
I'm an innocent man.
Oh, I love, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that song. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're on borrowed time.
So we did an interview this morning and then we're going to get kicked out now. So I think we should get to our favorite things.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. My favorite thing, now listeners, please forgive me because I don't usually do this. My favorite thing is sort of parallel with an interview that's going to be coming out. And I thought of how I would feel if I knew that this favorite thing existed, and then I get to hear the interview, and I think that this favorite thing will actually give a greater context to the interview with this legend that we had. So my favorite thing is a documentary that is coming out. By the time this plays on Monday, on the 11th, you'll be able to stream this documentary and be able to buy it on iTunes and rent it. And then if you're in the city this weekend, you can actually see this documentary at the Landmark Theater November 4th through the 7th. So it would have been yesterday, but through tomorrow or the next day. And that's at the Landmark Theater on 57th Street. But this is called Leonard Soloway's Broadway. And some of you may be saying, oh, my gosh, Leonard Soloway, the 91, 92 year old,
92, I think.
You know, previous general manager, producer of Broadway shows, house manager of theaters, has been around in a 70 plus years in the business. And, or some of you may say, who the heck is that? And if that's you, either way, you got to see this documentary. It is it's an extremely well made documentary. I think it's for anybody who is a fan of theater, anybody who's interested in theater. And basically what the documentary does is it celebrates Leonard's very fascinating life over the years as a person who has definitely worked the majority of his life backstage or producing theater on Broadway and off Broadway. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it follows him, 90-year-old Leonard, producing Maurice Hines' Tappin' Through Life, which played in 2015-16 at the New World Stages. Unfortunately, for a man who had such an illustrious, fantastic, successful career, this piece was not a success. So while you're watching this man's life in the parallel time, you're watching this him try to raise funds and produce this off-Broadway piece of theater that really did not do so well. And you see him get into fights with the director. You see him. I mean, this is a man who's literally told Lauren Bacall to shut the fuck up, excuse my language, but told, and you'll hear that in the interview, and because of that, she respected him. Same thing with Jerome Robbins when he did Jerome Robbins Broadway. This man is used to dealing with people, but boy, he pulls all the punches in this documentary, and while at the same time you get to hear people celebrate him, people like Elizabeth Ashley, Tova Feldshuh, who's one of our previous guests, along with Debbie Gravitt, Manny Eisenberg. We got to talk to Manny Eisenberg.
I would love to talk to Manny Eisenberg.
But you know, this is a well done documentary, and it was directed by Jeff Walk, and I think it will give better context to the eventual interview that listeners that you will hear of this gentleman who, is 90 plus, is still going after it, still wanting to produce stuff, still staying active, and I guess it's rare that we have a person that we talk to that really is an open book. There was nothing he wasn't going to do. His love life, his flings, when JFK came to the theater and he tells us the story, which I think is included in the documentary, about how, you know, one of the Secret Service kind of popped up into the old manager's office and then popped in and out of his life for 6 more months after that. So,
if you know what we mean.
If you know, wink, 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 what we're talking about.
They had sex at the Richard Rogers.
Yeah, he was definitely enjoying telling us about his own sexcapades. Oh, he liked the boys, that's for sure. So anyway, more than that, you get to hear about his amazing career, and he's very honest and straight up. It reminded me of old school showbiz. He talks about Jerry Schoenfeld and Bernard Jacobs and the Schuberts, and you know, this is a man who was especially in his prime. He was a part of that world, that old Broadway from the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, how dare you? And it's fun to after our interview and to watch the documentary to get a little glimpse of that, to experience what that old school showbiz was like.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So this is called Leonard Soloway's Broadway.
And Leonard will be a guest. We'll air the episode in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, but look forward to that because he's
the week after next.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't schedule it.
I'm counting.
You're looking at me like, I don't, that's not
I'm the secretary. I know the agenda.
This is true. Rob is the secretary, and Rob does know the agenda.
Miss Marmalstein. Miss Marmalstein. Why do they call me Miss Marmalstein? Anthony Rapp in. I can get it for you wholesale.
You keep saying, it's Adam Rapp.
Adam Rapp.
You keep saying Anthony Rapp.
Oh, you're right.
I know I'm
Adam
right.
Adam Pascal.
You guys, go back to the beginning. Didn't he say, that's why I was so confused when he said Anthony
okay,
Rapp.
Okay,
and I was like,
lawyers
who's Anthony
to come
Rapp?
And take a listen to what
like,
I said.
They get Adam that all the Pascal. Time because they were in Rent and then they did all those duet concerts and everybody always gets them confused.
There's Anthony Rapp, the actor. His brother, Adam Rapp, is a playwright. Mm-hmm. Then there's Anthony Pascal, Adam Pascal.
See, did it again.
Who starred in Rent with Anthony Rapp. And Adam Pascal is the one who just played Harold Hill. Am I good now?
Did you guys follow that? Because I think I got on the same page.
SS Sadie still.
I was just going to let him go and not say anything. No. But what's your favorite thing, Rob?
Just let me sleep it off. Let me just sleep it off. What is my favorite thing?
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Kevin. So.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I am reading Julie Andrews. This is not my favorite thing. It's going to lead to my favorite thing. But I'm reading Julie Andrews' autobiography right
Part
now.
Five? I mean, I feel like she's written like eight.
It's called like Beginnings or something. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, folks. I can't recommend it. I'm not.
Wait, I never thought you'd say that. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to finish reading it so you don't have to.
I am. Because if I start a book, I have to finish it even if I don't
really?
Like it. And I'm sorry. She's very. But it's literally like. And then we had 84 yachts, and I don't know which one to sell because we were going through financial issues. So we sold one of the yachts, and we had 83. And I'm like, okay.
So what?
That's so nice. Thank you, Julie.
Next.
There's some interesting stuff in there. I'm so sorry. If you're a Julie Andrews fan, by all means, read it. But I was reading it, and I'm like, oh, she's talked about someone, and I'm like, this person, ironically, has never been a favorite thing. So I look back, because we've now done 197 favorite things.
That's crazy.
Episodes, times that by two.
Because we've done our regular interviews.
Yes.
Two episodes a week for almost 4 years.
Yeah. But I was like, this person has never been a favorite thing. And I was like, this is ironic. So today I would like to celebrate somebody whose entire musical catalog is now available on Apple Music. Because this person put out so many records in his career. He's a Broadway actor, then moved to film and television, and he's passed away, unfortunately. Otherwise, we would try to get him on this show.
It's not Jack Jones.
Although sometimes he's actually been on this show, just in a different form. Today, my favorite thing is Robert Gerard Goulet.
Shut your face.
Robert Goulet. We've never made him a favorite
thing. I mean, he's basically like the patron saint of our podcast.
The patriarch
saint. The patron saint of all the podcasts, if you know what I mean.
I'm the Patreon saint of podcasts. You can donate to me.
Oh, my God.
But I know that we joke about him so much, and I know like in his later years, you know, Will Ferrell, I think, you know, used to do him on SNL every once in a while.
Not as good as you, Rob. Not as good as you.
No. And so... But he was always, the thing I like about Robert Goulet was like he was always in on his own joke. Yeah. Like, he would also, like, appear with Will Ferrell in skits, and then, right. like, he did all those... Remember those commercials he
Depends
would do?
Depends commercials? I'm totally
kidding.
No,
you're an asshole. That's a whole other story.
I'm so sorry.
But I want to celebrate Robert Goulet because his whole record collection, like I said, his album collection is now available on Apple Music. So if you've got a subscription, go on there and download it. There are some wonderful things called I'm Wishing You a Christmas...
Just that? Just I'm wishing you a Christmas. Not like a Merry Christmas or...
No, just Christmas.
Just I hope you get one.
I don't know who Mary is. I don't know.
Carol?
I was married.
Is that one of my mistresses or no?
I was married to a Louise, a Carol, and finally Vera.
You know, I have like some albums of his from that are only on LP yes. that are those television Columbia yep. did of Kiss Me Kate and Kismet, I think was the other one. They're fun. I mean, like his voice is amazing. I know we joke about him, but
no,
like,
that's why I wanted to celebrate him today. So, you know, he was born in Massachusetts, but you know, French Canadian ancestry. He did a lot of living actually in Canada.
The happy time,
which I was going to say later pays off in
Speaking
the happy
of
time.
French Canadians,
and then, this is so really, I think this is interesting. When he was in the 1950s, when he was like starting his career in Canada, they did a Canadian version of Howdy Doody up there, you know, the children's show. Guess who co-starred opposite with him in this? William Shatner. No,
really?
Can you imagine?
Those two.
Robert Goulet and William Shatner on a children's TV show.
Two parodies living together. I mean, like, where's Catherine O'Hara when you need
Robert,
her?
Robert, where's the puppet? Puppets up my ass.
I got something on my butt right now.
Come
and
find it.
It's not a stick.
And then he did, you'll love this, he did Kenley Players for like a number of years in a row. And then from Kenley Players, it led to him doing Camelot, which was his first Broadway musical.
So that was, Kenley was before he got, broke out and made it big.
He did Kenley in the late 50s. He did things like Bells Are Ringing. He did Meet Me in St. Louis. He did Carousel. And there's this story where John Kenley like went to his room after, his dressing room after one of the performances and said, I'm giving you a raise because I know this is the last time that this is ever going to happen because you're going to be such a big star. And what's nice is Goulet went back and did Kenley Players like in the 90s. And
oh,
stuff.
That is Isn't nice. That
cool? So then, yeah, so there was Camelot. And then he got really big on television and never really looked back.
He was a true matinee idol, like of that really? Term. You know what I mean? Like the tall, strapping baritone. Like the only person who could sing If Ever I Would Leave You and make it believable.
Well, if you look at him, like when he was younger, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, he's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. And so in the 70s and 80s, then he like dominated Vegas and Atlantic City. Come see me at Bally's. You know, we do tab productions.
At the Sands.
We do tab productions of musicals here at Atlantic City, so I'm playing the Mako role in Pacific Overtures. Isn't that his name? The lead? The reciter?
Mako?
They wanted me to come in to replace Sab Shimamono, and I said, that's not going to happen. Sab and I were two different heights, but Mako and I, it looked good. Also doing a tab version of Into the Light.
Tab. Oh my God, Into the Light.
Then we're going to do Mystery of Edwin Drood, but unfortunately we can only do 70 minutes of it, so we're just calling it the Mystery. That's all we can afford time
no
for.
No ending.
And then, like, God bless him, Tim Burton put him in Beetlejuice, and that sort of like reignited his on-camera career. Then he did Naked Gun 2.5.
Which is almost better than one of the first ones.
I agree. I love that one. And then he did a tour of Camelot where he got to play King Arthur this time. And the last time Simpsons, he does a great thing on The Simpsons. If you remember, he sings Jingle Bells on The Simpsons.
Oh, right.
And then, like, the 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, he was literally doing commercials everywhere. He was appearing on SNL. He had this whole, like, renaissance in his career. But like I said before, his entire collection of albums is now available on Apple Music. Go take a listen. I know we joke about him so much. He's one of my favorite people. But go and just appreciate the gift that he actually had, because it's a pretty special one.
That's a good one, Rob. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know what a good one is. Don't forget to buy my new album, Goulet Sings Contemporary Broadway.
I feel like he should have had like a disco album like Merman did, you know,
Michael
like Goulet
in the
sings.
Bathroom. Michael in the bathroom by himself. All by himself. Solamente en el baño. Poor Miguel.
I like when he breaks out in Spanish a little bit because he's lived in L.A. for so long. And he's
I live off of Hacienda Heights, and I've learned some Spanish, like, pobre Miguel en el baño. He's out there ignoring me, erasing all our history. See, I'm woke.
You woke.
I can put that in. See me in Tootsie. Don't wear a dress. Tell them that.
I bet your Hades town is pretty good, too.
Oh, I would love to see it. Mm-hmm. Here's where we build a wall.
It'd be great as Hades.
To keep Carol out. Oh, she's busting my balls. Ooh, oh, sorry. Apparently, Aeneas doesn't like it when I rewrite the lyrics. Andre, you're in my light.
So anyway, so Robert Goulet is mine. There's tons of albums out there. Do you have a favorite Robert Goulet song or album?
No, I love The Happy Time. I truly, me too. Truly love the music. I don't know a lot of his solo albums, so I'm going to give that a listen.
Oh, when he sings, I don't remember you, and he sings part of Saint Pierre,
yep.
And he gets up to that note, and you're just like, well, this is heaven.
Yes.
This is heaven.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I got to say.
Go
Sorry,
have
guys.
Fun listening and go check out Leonard Soloway's Broadway, the documentary, either at the theaters this weekend or online.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be tomorrow, because tomorrow the rent is due. Oh no, I can't pay rent.
I'm putting stuff away now.
You'll need to pay the rent for me. See, that's what I learned in acting class.
I'm going
to
unplug your microphone.
I can't pay the rent. You must pay the rent. Oh no, not at rent time. I told you we should have sublet.
That rent time.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you. Know, every once in a while I've got a rhyme in there. Yeah. I played Harold Hill once. opposite K. Ballard is Marion. I'm still talking. I don't even know why I'm still talking.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.